I don't know the details of what he wants, but he did give me one thing, so I want to go there. And we're going to take a little ride to Psalms 41. Okay? So if you want to kind of break your Bible open to Psalms 41. And of course, it's a Psalm of David, so that should give you a clue about your city. And I think it's kind of an overview of some of the things that we sometimes go through and we have no knowledge of. So we'll start with verse 1. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. So notice that his heart is what God looks at. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. That's very important because sometimes you may have enemies you know not of. But as you keep your focus on the Lord, he'll deal with them, not you. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed. And for your information, Peggy had to leave a little early because Bob's blood pressure was way down. So they had to bring him to the ER. So that's why she's left, and so we're asking God for his plan right there.
Amen.
Amen. And it says, restore him from his bed of illness. Verse 4, I said, O Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Well, how many can relate? You don't have enemies? Come on.
Oh,
you know your enemies would like to have you dead, even if it is for a minute or two. Verse 6, whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. Well, Judas was a perfect example. He was ready to deny because the Lord did not do what he wanted. And there are areas of each of our lives that we did not please somebody according to what they expected us to do or be.
Amen.
What do? You know their heart is full of slander. Then they go out and they spread it about you all to the left, to the right, north, south, whatever. And verse 7 says, all my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friends, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. That's prophetic. Because that's exactly what happened. Judas turned around and off he went. And the Lord knew it. And still gave him communion. I mean, take a good look at the reality of that man that we call our Savior. A betrayed, rejected, hated, and yet he gave out grace and favor and mercy. And that's an example to each of us. But verse 10, but you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I mean, I don't know if I would go along with that, with the new covenant. It would be better if we let the Lord pay them back. Amen? So there's a higher standard. 11, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. There's his future. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. All this I said to kind of awaken you that King David was also rejected. He was also not good enough in the eyes of his father. He was left in the field when they knew the prophet was coming. And the prophet came and looked at all the boys. Not one of these. Because the Holy Spirit said, uh-uh. And I'm sure that when the prophet looked at the dad and said, have you got any more sons? I mean, can you imagine being left out in the field, taking care of the animals where there's a big celebration going on in the family house? I mean, you know, think about how you would feel if you were out in that field. And yet, the Lord told Samuel, no, none of these. Yet the father, I'm sure, had prepared all his sons, made sure they were showered, dressed correctly, looked like kings, etc. And not one of them was acceptable except the one that was in the field with the animals. No shower, no fancy clothes. What does that say about you and me? If he wants to make a king and a queen out of you and me, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You can prance around with a fancy this and fancy that, and the Holy Spirit will look at your heart and he'll say, uh-uh, your motivation is wrong. No relationship to Papa. The one that had the relationship was out taking care of the animals, practicing on how to make them survive. And when they got in trouble, his heart went out to them and he had compassion on them and loved them, even if they were animals. I believe we have another one that was very similar. His name was Peter.
Good old Peter.
Good old Peter, yeah. Many times when we look at ourselves, we don't see what we can become. But when God looks at us, he sees what we can become by his grace. So look at your neighbor, say, grace is available to each of us.
Grace.
How many of you have ever had a background where you swished back and forth with opinions of men and the opinions of God? Put your hand up if you qualify. Say, I qualify to be a Simon. Okay, when Jesus first met and saw Simon, whose name in Greek means reed, R-E-E-D, he changed his name to Peter, which means rock. But did Peter instantly become someone with a characteristic of a rock? Solid, stable, unshakable? No. For a long time, he continued to act like a reed that bends every which way the wind blows. Once when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he took a bold step of faith and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Then as he was walking on the water, he saw the boisterous wind, got scared, and when he began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Matthew 14. Another time he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Luke 22. Then a few hours later, he denied knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Did his parents make a mistake when they called him Simon?
No.
That's exactly what he was. Did Jesus make a mistake when he called him Peter?
No.
Thank you. So, yet throughout his reed-like behavior, Jesus kept calling him rock. Until one day, how Jesus saw him began to take root in him. That day, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached to 3,000. And people, 3,000 were saved, Acts 2. Peter had indeed become a rock, a pillar in the early church. So his name was prophetic. And Jesus declared it and repeated it and repeated it and repeated it until it became a reality. That was how Jesus transformed Peter. That is how God wants us to change the people and situations in our lives. And I would say it's how he wants you to change your opinion of yourself. Are you telling me to call my wife a fruitful vine, as in Psalm 128? You should see my wife. She looks more like a dried up prune. My friend, God did not tell us to call those things which exist as they exist. What is the point of starting or stating the obvious? It is not going to change anything. No, God tells us to call those things which do not exist as though they did, and they will. So your declaration about your child, your grandchild, check and see if your mouth matches God's opinion. Yes? But check and see. I'm not blaming anybody. I've got my own mouth to contend with. Okay? And duct tape ministry is available. But when you confess what God says about Peter, you see him come out of the reed position and he becomes what Jesus called him. So I'm going to ask you to do something now. Just close your eyes. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, I will start using my mouth by releasing the grace to those that are hurting. Those that are in despair in my family. It might even be yours truly. Not declaring wise words. So tonight, I'm going to declare that my new name is Peter. I'm going to be solid on my foundation. My foundation is Christ Jesus. And on this rock, he's building his church. And he's building the house of prayer. So we're going to declare all the good things about each other. And if others have a different opinion, we'll let God deal with them because he knows how. And so my family is blessed. Those that are closest to my heart, they are also blessed. And so am I. Because Jesus already set me free. I am righteous by faith. I am holy because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross. I am made a saint because I accepted him who paid the price for all my sins. When I went down into the water, I was the old me. When I came out of the water in my baptism, I was born again. I was a new creation. And I still am. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.